Let's listen now to the scripture at Acts 17, verse 10 through 15. Last time you'll remember the king came to Thessalonica in the preaching of the gospel. And we read of the opposition to that proclamation of another king. And they understood that to believe in Jesus means that we serve another king, that he is the one that we have sworn absolute loyalty to. Paul and Silas and Timothy were not welcomed there in the main. And Paul was sent along further as well, Paul and Silas and Timothy. And they come to a place called Berea. And so let's listen now to the scripture at Acts 17, verse 10, as the missionaries travel further west, and will now head a little bit off the main road to an out-of-the-way place called Berea. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. But when the Jews of Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea also, they came there as well, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul out to go as far as the sea, and Silas and Timothy remained there. Now those who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they left. This is the word of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your scripture. We thank you, Lord, that you do break that bread of life to us, that by your spirit, your word that we read upon the pages of scripture, by your spirit, Lord, you open our hearts and minds to that truth, even as the Lord Jesus did to those folks on the road to Emmaus. And so, Lord, we pray tonight that again you would work in our hearts and that we would understand the scripture, that we would believe the scripture, and then, Lord, as we go out tonight into this new week, Lord, that we would live what we believe. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come to this portion of scripture, and Paul and Silas and Timothy in this little out-of-the-way place off the main road called Berea. We want to ask ourselves the question tonight as we come to this scripture, how do you listen to a sermon without falling asleep? That's the only title I could think of for this passage of scripture because it just made sense. How do you listen to a sermon without falling asleep? I remember the church that I grew up in when I was a little boy, and for some reason, the sounds of that church that I grew up in have always gone with me. I can picture the church building. It was much larger than this building. It was made of wood, wood benches and wood ceiling, and it was very cavernous, really, if I had to describe it as a child. It had creaky pews, and so whenever you sat down or whenever you got up, everybody in the building knew it. And at other times, the organ would literally shake shake your body. It was so loud and reverberating through the building. But there is two particular sounds that I remember especially growing up in church myself. One was before the giving of the sermon was the crinkling of the candy wrappers that would go through our church. For some reason, in the tradition that I grew up in, before a sermon, peppermints would be passed out to people to eat and to suck on during a sermon, and that was just how it was. And some wouldn't use peppermints, some would use other candies, and those were really noisy. But throughout the church, before the sermon started, there would be a rustling of candies being well, not devoured, but gotten ready to be devoured. And the other sound I remember is that after the reading of the scripture, when the minister was finished reading the scripture in this large cavernous church building, before he would give the sermon, there was always a loud thud, 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 thud. And that was the sound of, after the reading of scripture, everybody closing their Bibles and setting their Bibles down or putting them back in the pew to listen to the sermon. And I remember that growing up as a child. Thud, 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 thud. Bibles closing everywhere, settling back to listen to now a sermon. Well, what kind of listeners were we growing up in that church in Trenton, Ontario, Canada? What kind of listener are you to a sermon? Charles Bridges, in his book, The Christian Ministry, gives a sample list of 8 different types of listeners who come into contact with the gospel. 8. He says there's the infidel, that is the person who is against Christ, doesn't want to hear anything, and yet they're in contact with the gospel. There's the ignorant or the careless who simply don't take the time to know enough about the gospel. There's the self-righteous, he says. There's the false professor. There's the young Christian just growing in their faith. There's the backslider who has sinned against God and is turning away from the faith. There's the unestablished Christian who hasn't really sunk roots deep into the scripture. And then he says there's the confirmed and the committed Christian who's growing in their faith and committed to the Lord. And so he gives a list of 8. But we're only going to think about 2 tonight. 2 types of listeners, because here in this passage of Scripture, we are encouraged to think about 2 types of listeners. And it's the difference between the listeners in Thessalonica and the listeners in Berea. And to make it really simple, very simple for us, there are 2 kinds of listeners to a sermon. Those who have an open Bible, and those who have a closed Bible. Those of the open Bible and those of the closed Bible. First of all, we want to think about those with an open Bible. This passage of Scripture tells us, verse 11, now these, that is the folks in Berea, were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And so here the Word of God gives to us a comparison between the Jews in Thessalonica who heard the gospel and those in Berea who heard the gospel. And the Bible tells us that those in Berea were more noble-minded, or you might have in your Bible, were of a more noble character. And so that's important for us because you and I tonight, we want to be noble folks. We want to be those who listen well to the gospel. And so what made the distinction? Well, the first thing we find out about these folks in Berea was that they received the word with great eagerness. That means they were more noble-minded. Why? For, first of all, they received the word with great eagerness. Now, this doesn't mean that we're not to picture people in Berea who were simple-minded folks who simply believed everything they heard. That's not what the Bible is saying here. But rather, that they listened with an openness and an eagerness and anticipation of what was coming next or what the apostle was going to say. There was an eagerness to hear, to discern, to receive truth. And they wanted to hear it. There was an openness to the truth of God's Word, an eagerness. Now, think about when you read a story to a little child, if you've ever had that experience. You ever had the experience of reading a story to a little child, and that child is all eager eyes? Maybe you're a grandma, and you read a story to a child, and you have a child get up on your lap, or you're an aunt, or an uncle, or a friend, or whatever it is. You're going to read to them a story. They're all eyes and ears, ready to listen with anticipation. Or maybe you yourself. Maybe you've never read, but finally have opportunity to read a work of great fiction that you've always heard about. Maybe you've never read The Chronicles of Narnia, or you've never read J.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, and maybe you've got like an extra 100 hours And so you say, okay, I'm going to, well, at least for the Lord of the Rings, but I got some extra hours. I'm going to do it. I've heard about this. And so what do? Well, you get a book or whatever other work it is, and you open it. And how do you do that? Well, you with great anticipation. There's eagerness. You want to hear more. So they were open to hear. They didn't shout Paul down in the synagogue in Berea. They were open. They wanted to hear truth. Now, one of the blessings, of course, of our culture today is that people do seem, in general, open to hear. They're open, it seems, to hear all kinds of messages, right, out of the culture today. And there's all sorts of inlets into people's ears today to get messages to them. And people do seem to, you know, they want to be in contact with, you know, the world and different cultures and different worldviews. And that gives us as a church a wonderful opportunity, you see, because people are, they're wanting to hear, and there's a certain openness to something that is solid or something that is weighty, something that is not as ephemeral and temporary and passing that we're all so used to here in our North American culture. And so these folks in Berea were more noble because they received the word with great eagerness. Another translation says, with all eagerness. It's the kind of eagerness that, for instance, the prophets are described as having in the Old Testament as they were being used of God to pen Scripture. You remember what Peter says, 1 Peter 1:10, "As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look." And so the Apostle Peter is saying there that the prophets of old had this longing to know more about salvation. They had this eagerness to hear more about what is the Spirit really pointing us to? Where is this fully going? You see, even angels had this desire and eagerness to hear about it. Well, the Bereans had this eagerness to hear what Paul was preaching as Jesus being the fulfillment of all those prophecies. Now, when we in our home get a Costco flyer, I am all eagerness to pick it up. Aren't you? You shop at Costco? All eagerness. Can't new Costco flyer? Let me at it. I want to see it. Some of you, you still get a newspaper, and you're all eagerness for what? Maybe the sports page. Maybe the financial news. You're all eagerness. Anticipation. What is it going to say today? You see, all eagerness. Sadly, many Christians come to a worship service with the eagerness of going to a dentist office, right? It's not all eagerness. It's oh, I got to get that tooth pulled. That's not how it is for the people of God. That's not how it should be for the people of God. They wanted to hear truth. So the Bereans receive the word with all eagerness. Do you, you see? Are you eager to hear the word of God? They were more noble that way. They were also more noble because the Bible tells us that in their eagerness, they examined the scriptures. They were examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. So they were eager to hear. They wanted to hear truth. They wanted to hear something solid from Paul. And so they heard him out. And as he preached and as he taught, what were they doing? No. They were examining the scripture to see if this is so. Is this really true? That Jesus is the fulfillment of all the promises of God. Is this true what this preacher is saying? We want to know. Now, I imagine that there are preachers out there who want a congregation to believe everything they say simply because the preacher says it, right? There are those kind of preachers, and may God preserve us from that. But a faithful preacher wants a congregation to believe what they say only because they're convinced that God has said it in His Word. That's why a preacher wants you to be convinced by what he's saying, persuaded. Why? Because you will be convinced that God is saying it through the Scripture. And so the truth of what they heard, you see, was dependent on the Word. So they're taking in a message. What are they doing? They're examining the Word of God to see, is this so? They tested Paul's claims on behalf of Jesus according to the Scripture. Now, in that way, they were wonderfully in line with and fulfilling the call of the people of God that Isaiah rang out many, many years before in Isaiah chapter 8 when he's talking to God's covenant people, and he's saying, when folks come to you and say, oh, why don't you go this way and why don't you go that way, what's the people of God to do? And Isaiah said this in Isaiah 8:19. He said, when they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn or no light. So you hear what Isaiah is saying. When people are saying to you, go to the astrologer, read the newspaper account of, are you a Capricorn? Are you a Leo? If people are saying, you know, follow that, that will direct your life. Is that what the people of God are to do? No, but no, Isaiah says, no, the people of God say, to the law and to the testimony. Let's go to the Word of God to see if what's being said is true. Is it according to the truth of the Word of God? Now, obviously, friends, to examine and test what Paul said against the touchstone of Scripture, they needed their Bible open, right? These Bereans. If they were going to test what Paul said to see whether or not it's so, they would need their Bible open, the Scriptures they had, and say, I hear this, what does God say? I hear this, I hear Paul saying, what does the Scripture say? And so they appealed to Scripture. John makes this same point in his letter in 1 John 1. He's talking about what do you do when someone claims to be a prophet or claims to have a word from the Lord? Well, remember what John said? He said, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so people give you advice all the time, don't they? People give you advice all the time. They give you counsel. They give you teaching. And they say, you know what, you should do this with your life. Or this is how you can fix your life. And all the while, the people of God should be saying, the Bible says, but is this what God says? You know, is this God's way? And friends, the Bible, you know, the Bible continues to be, of course, at the top of the bestseller list around the world, but it also continues to be the most neglected book in the lives of those who own a copy of it, right? Bestseller all over the world, and yet, time and time again, it's the most neglected book in the lives of those who own it. These folks examine the Scriptures to see if what they heard was true. They knew the Word of God. People who have professed faith many years can be ignorant of what the Bible says, or even the title of books. I remember hearing a Christian woman who had been walking with the Lord for many, many years, and she was giving a talk on an aspect of the Christian life from a Christian perspective, and she'd been walking with the Lord for many, many years, and I remember her asking us to turn in our Bible to Philippians 2 or 2 Philippians. And I remember thinking to myself, what is that? I don't know what that is. And I said, oh, okay, she must be referring to Philippians, right? This was a young lady who'd been walking with the Lord for many years, not even knowing the title of a book of the Bible. How should you listen to a sermon? An open Bible. examining Scripture and examining what God has to say. That's important. Not examining the scenery outside on the hills of Redlands. Not examining the hair on the head of the person in front of you. Not examining your week or your agenda in your mind, going over it again and again. The Bereans heard and they wanted to know, is this true? And so they have their Bible open to see if that's true. And not only that, the Bible says to us that they were more noble than the Thessalonican Jews. Why? They received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Daily, searching the Scripture. Now, as Reformed Christians, we believe that every word of God is inspired, breathed out by Him. Every word breathed out by God and important, inspired by Him. Why daily? Daily, they examine the Scriptures. In other words, friends, these folks didn't examine the Scripture for 1 hour on Sunday morning, or a half hour, or whatever it is, or even 2 hours, morning and night on Sunday. And then, you know what, they were so weary of hearing the Word and searching the Word, they couldn't imagine any more possible time in the Word than they had. It was impossible, no. They examined, the Scripture says, daily. The time they gave reflected the importance they attributed to the content, you see. They heard this message from Paul. Is this message about Jesus really true? Is He the Lord? Is He Christ? Is He the King? Because if He is, that means that my whole life would be oriented around that truth. And so I want to know if that's true. And so I'm going to examine the Scriptures, and I'm going to examine them daily to make sure that this is true. And if it's true, I can stake my life on its truth. Daily, daily, at work, at home, at school. Now, what do you do daily? Well, you do daily what you believe to be important. Right? You eat daily, I imagine. You sleep daily. I do. I need to sleep every day. I need to eat every day. What do you do daily? Well, those things that are of most and greatest importance. But friends, we are really wimps when it comes to being in God's Word daily. Remember, I don't know if you remember, a couple of months ago we were in the book of Nehemiah and we were reading about the renewal under Nehemiah and under Ezra. And we read a little passage from the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 8, you may recall. And it was a passage that talked about the people of God being gathered to hear the word of God. And this is how it went. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Men, women, children, all who could understand. And he read from the book of the law, the Bible says, before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand. And all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So here you have a people that are attentive to the book of the law for at least 6 hours. See, at least 6 hours, early morning to midday. Men, women, children, all who can understand, 6 hours, attentive. Not 6 hours sleeping, 6 hours, the Bible says, attentive to the Word of God. And we say today, we can't endure a half-hour sermon on the Lord's Day. Or two. You're enduring two on the Lord's Day. How's that possible? Two sermons? How can we do it? How can we sit attentively to a sermon for so long? That just seems impossible. But then, of course, we sit attentively in front of our television for hour after hour after hour. Someone said in the last couple of weeks or so that I forget who it was, that the average American watches 6 or 7 hours of television a day attentively. you see. It's not that we can't be attentive to the Word of God. It's that our attention is given elsewhere, you see. Daily, they search the Scriptures. You know, some printers and computers and lawnmowers, you know, if you buy something at Costco, for instance, they all come with these thick manuals. I throw them out. Do you? Yeah, I usually throw them out. Usually throw them out with the packaging. Put them away. That's what I do. That's not good, but that's usually what happens. But you know what? When we were signing the contract for the new house that by God's grace we're now living in, you know what I did with that contract? I think it was like 40 pages. Read it closely. Oh boy, so attentively. And I reread it the next day before I signed it, right? Because, now a lawnmower manual, no big deal. I don't really care about that. I'll do it myself. But when you're talking about something so serious, so important, you give yourself to it. In fact, if one word was, you're attentive to every word in that contract, you see. Not one word was missed by these eyeballs. I examined carefully. Friends, the Scripture is a matter of life and death, right? It's a matter of joy or misery. It's a matter of glory or destruction. It's a matter, we believe, and Jesus says, of heaven or hell. And do you not have time to examine it carefully, daily? Is this so? Is Jesus the Lord? Is He the King? Because, boy, my life needs to be different if He is, you see. So you can only receive the Word and examine the Word daily with an open Bible, you see, with an open Bible, an open heart, an eagerness to hear the truth. These were the Bereans. They were listeners with an open Bible. And you know what the Bible says, what the result was to these folks who listened to the message with an open Bible? Here's the result. Verse 12 says, therefore, in other words, because they were attentive, because they received it, because they anticipated, because they examined daily, therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. In Thessalonica, verse 4, if you look back, it says, some believed. But here, the Bible says, many believed. Don't miss the therefore. They were receiving and examining the Scriptures to see if this were so. Is this really about Jesus Christ? And as they dug into that Scripture, they found that what Jesus had said was true. Remember in John 5:39, He says, "You search the Scriptures because you think in them, that is in the bare Word, you have eternal life, but these Scriptures speak of Me." Me. Me. So friends, that's why it's so important that we give attention to the Word of God, because it speaks to us of Jesus. And when we come anticipating eagerly for truth, we want to know, is this so? Is Jesus who He said He was? When we do that, the Bible says, many believe as they give attention to that Word of God. They had an open Bible. But there are many with a closed Bible. And briefly, that's important for us to see that too. Who were the folks with the closed Bible? Well, they were Jews from Thessalonica. They had the Word of God, they had the covenants, they had the promises. Verse 13 says, but when the Jews of Thessalonica found out, what did they find out that drove them to go 50 miles to aggravate the church, to stir up the church? And what drove them there? These Jews who had the Word of God? Well, the Bible says this, but when the Jews of Thessalonica found out that the Word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea also, they came there as well, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Friends, nothing so infuriates those who are opposed to Jesus Christ, the gospel, and his church as an appeal to the Bible. You see, this is what drove these folks. They heard that the word of God was being proclaimed. And so they went all those miles, probably 2 days, to get there, to stir up, to agitate, to upset the church, to stop them from preaching the word of God. In other words, they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want others to hear it. And at great cost to themselves, they wanted to stop others from hearing it. Does that remind you of anyone? How about the ruthless, heartless man who stood by while the godly Stephen, who was preaching the word of God, was stoned to death? Paul himself, in Acts chapter 8, we read that Paul, Saul at the time, after Stephen was killed, Saul went about from house to house ravaging the church. He wanted to stop the proclamation of the gospel. He hated it, and he hated those Christians. You see, Paul knew all about this kind of zeal. He knew all about this kind of hatred of the truth and the things of God. For them, for these Jews from Thessalonica, the Bible, friends, was a closed book. They didn't want to see Christ there. They didn't want to truly know God. They were not convicted of their sin. They did not love Jesus. They did not love His Word. And so their Bible stayed closed. There was no searching. There was no digging. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want others to hear it. There was no meditating on that Word. It was just a closed book gathering dust. I told you this morning, that's how it was for me. A closed book on the shelf until the Holy Spirit of God comes and works in our lives. And then that Bible opens and all of a sudden it's laid there in front of us. And then we start digging and we start searching and we start having this eagerness to find out more. And we have this desire to say, well, is this really true? Is Jesus really who He said He was? Is he the Savior? Is He my Redeemer? Has He really died on the cross for my sin? Did He really rise from the dead on the third day? Is He really in heaven? Is He really coming back? Is this really true? You see? That's how it was for me. How is it for you? Is the Bible open to you? Or is it a closed book? Church member, pastor, theologian, or here, covenant people who had the Bible means nothing if that Bible is closed to you and you are closed to it. I thought it was amazing. I was reading some of the last things that R.C. Sproul wrote before he died. And I'd never heard this before from him, but he wrote this shortly before he died, a few years before he died. He said this. He said, my academic background, my education and teaching career, you know, huge teacher, theologian, has been in the fields of systematic theology and philosophy. I'm not a biblical scholar, he said, technically. I have to pay attention to what biblical scholars write. If I had to do it over again, he said, I would be a biblical scholar rather than a theologian, because there's nothing more I would rather do than give expository preaching of the Scriptures themselves, he said. I love, he says, to learn from Augustine, Calvin, Luther, and Edwards, but that is nothing like searching the Scriptures, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Isn't that interesting? R.C. Sproul, all those years, theologian, teacher. He's put out all sorts of DVDs, all sorts of things, all wonderful things. But later in life, he says, boy, if I had to do it again, over again, I read it. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I really wish I was just a preacher. And he was. He preached at St. Andrew's Chapel for many years before he died. But why did he say that? Simply this. He said, because there's nothing better than searching the Scriptures. And friends, for the Bereans, that's exactly what happened to them. They searched the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit worked faith so that many believed, many believed in the Christ. And though they were more noble than the Thessalonian Jews, friends, don't forget that there were folks in Thessalonica who did believe the message. They were mainly Greeks. They were mainly Gentiles. And Paul would write of them later as he writes to this church. And do you remember what he wrote to those folks in Thessalonica who did receive the message? He said this, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." You see. Friends, this is how to listen to a sermon without falling asleep. Open Bible, you see, eager to hear what God has to say, searching the Scriptures daily, because you know that God is speaking and God is at work pointing us to Jesus, and you want to know, is this true? Is there a Savior? Is He my Lord? Is He the King? I want to know. And so when I come and I hear a sermon, I'm going to have that Bible open and I'm going to be searching because I want to hear the Savior speak, and I want to know by the Spirit that this is true, you see. And you can't do that, friends, when your Bible is closed, your mind is elsewhere, and your attention is not upon the good things God has given, but upon anything else, you see. So may we, by God's grace, heed these words of Scripture. May we be those noble-minded Bereans who receive the Word of God with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. And let me give you a spoiler alert. They are. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, which is truth, and that You sanctify us by the truth. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us. Help us, Lord. We are so weak. We are so inattentive to Your Word. Even when the God of heaven speaks and has told us He is speaking, oh, Lord, it's so hard for us. We are such weak vessels of clay. And so, Lord, we pray that by Your Spirit You would do a great work in us, that You would raise us up to be a congregation who gathers to worship on the Lord's Day, eagerly awaiting to hear You speak, that we might hear of Christ, that we might hear the fulfillment of all Your promises in the Lord Jesus Christ, of our fellowship and communion with Him and His graces and His suffering and His death and His resurrection and in His glory. But Lord, let us not only leave that joy and that searching for the Lord's Day, but Lord, every day, may we be in Your Word, attentive to Your Word, reading its pages with that great anticipation, knowing that You speak to us by Your Spirit, and You speak to us of a Savior who is Christ the King. Help us, Lord, to receive that Word as the faithful in Thessalonica and in Berea both did, not as the words of men, but as it is indeed the very words of our God. May it be so for Your glory and for our good. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.